You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. It's December and I have a holiday story for you. So here's the thing. I write a lot of Christmas stories. So many that my teenager has started side-eyeing me as if maybe there needs to be some kind of intervention sometime soon. And I write about a lot of different festivals. It was actually my academic special subject the religious rituals of ancient Rome. And as those who've read my Creature Court novels know, I'm deeply, deeply into festival traditions. That was my epic fantasy trilogy, which based around my own version of the Roman festival calendar and looking at a world where you have the equivalent of a Christmas style festival pretty much every other day and what that would actually do to your economy and your world. Anyway, so Christmas stories, I particularly do write a lot about the celebrations at this time of year. I haven't investigated myself too deeply to find out why. I just love them. And I haven't just written about Christmas. I've written about Yule and Saturnalia. I've invented my own science fictional version of Christmas for the Musketeer Space Universe. Merry Joyeux, everyone. I've put mistletoe in a space station and snow in a Tasmanian December. If you look at our current weather predictions, actually it turns out Merry Happy Valkyrie, weirdly predictive. That's my story about Norse myth and snow in a Tasmanian Christmas. People's responses are often like, Australia Christmas? Why is there snow in this? Oh no, wait, I've been to Tasmania, I do understand. We do get all the weather. It's not necessarily specific to the season it's supposed to belong to. Anyway, so this month I'm going to share with you a holiday story, which was previously exclusive to Patreon. I write 3 bonus stories a year for my patrons at $2 per month or above, and this was one of them a couple of years ago. It's a story for everyone who ever felt their stomach sink with dread when a workplace secret Santa was announced. Super Spy Science Secret Santa by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Chapter 1. Q versus Eggplant. His name wasn't really Agent Eggplant, but Q-Lab staff at the Secret Science Centre weren't cleared to know the legal names of the secret agents they provided equipment for. Remembering 5-digit call signs was not especially difficult for the team of geniuses in this particular workplace, but it was boring. It was Fern who first came up with the idea of assigning an emoji to each of the agents under their care, for filing purposes only. Filing purposes only lasted about 2 weeks, and now the Secret Science Centre lab staff had to expend an unreasonable amount of daily energy on not, for example, referring to Agent 5592E as Agent Eggplant to his actual face. His stupid, chiselled, handsome face. Ditto Agent Stiletto, Agent Cupcake, Agent Unicorn, Agent Smiley Face, and Agent Total Eclipse of the Sun. Dr. Quentin Blythe disapproved of the emoji nicknames, much as he disapproved of anything that smacked of frivolity in the workplace. As senior supervisory scientist of Q-Lab, a genuine title, and not one his employers had made up to stop him asking for a raise, thank you, Fern. Dr. Quentin Blythe was here to make amazing secret agent gadgets and save the world. But it was December. December meant distractions. It meant parties. It meant the same 4 holiday songs played over and over in the lift, the foyer, and every supermarket in the country. It meant, worst of all, the disastrous, attention-sucking chaos magnet that was Q-Lab's annual Secret Santa exchange. He had tried to stop it, year after year. But once Fern, why was it always Fern and why couldn't he fire her? Once Fern came up with the idea that Secret Santa gifts should be original inventions, there was no stopping this gift-wrapped juggernaut. QLab was all about exceptional R&D. So if the Secret Santa Exchange had morphed into an elaborate creative exercise during which Quentin's subordinates attempted to undo each other with ingenuity, then, well, one could argue that this outcome was highly productive to their bottom line. Quentin couldn't stop it now. Not when so many Secret Santa gifts won special secret agent inventive innovation commendations each year, which meant approving nods and budget increases from the big cheeses. He didn't even fight it anymore, very much. He still huffed and sighed because this was expected of him, and everyone would be suspicious if he did not at least make the effort. Still, he could resist the rest of the insidious holiday distraction train, one Santa hat at a time. It started every year with the tinsel, which popped up in all corners of the lab, spreading like microbes and expanding into fancier and fancier variations on the basic tinsel concept. There were cutesy signs about reindeer. There were candy canes everywhere, in jars and bowls placed around the lab without lids on them, so people could just reach in and take one anytime they wanted. It was an occupational health and safety nightmare. Quentin suspected that all of his subordinates were in on it. He never actually caught them putting up what Bruce and Barry heartily referred to as the Xmas bling, bro. Still, he knew that there was too much sparkle and good cheer for one person to be behind all of it, even if that person was Fern. He had not suspected Agent Eggplant, not until Quentin walked into the QLab tea room and spotted the 6'5", broad-shouldered, tuxedo-clad secret agent carefully balancing a large stuffed snowman on top of the milk fridge. Quentin let out a small, horrified sound. The agents were in on this too. He thought it was only his fellow scientists who perpetuated the madness. But the agents were... they were supposed to take things seriously. Their job was to save the world, not decorate rooms that were otherwise perfectly functional. "Oh, sorry, mate," said Agent Eggplant with a sheepish grin. "Just bringing a bit of festive cheer, you know." "It is December the 2nd," said Quentin haughtily. "Also, this is Australia, and snow is not relevant to any holiday celebrations at this time of year." "Too right," said Agent Eggplant, giving the stuffed snowman a bit of a waggle. "It's all a bit of fun, eh, Q?" Quentin felt his justifiable annoyance ebb somewhat. This was in itself annoying. The agents were the only ones who called him Q. The other scientists in Q Lab thought this was hilarious and assumed that Quentin hated it. "Stop trying to make Q happen," Fern had laughed once. "Like this little bro has ever seen a James Bond film anyway," Bruce or Barry teased. "That'd mean taking a night off." Quentin's biggest secret was that he really, really liked it when the agents called him Q. He wished it would catch on. Of course he'd seen the Bond films. How could anyone possibly end up on a career track towards making super science gadgets for spies if they hadn't watched far too many Bond films at a most impressionable age? As far as he was concerned, one of the only benefits of being an expert scientist whose name was Quentin would be acquiring the nickname Q from his colleagues. He loved that the agents used the nickname, but he also hated it, because when an agent called him that, he was putty in their hands. It was a weakness, and while Quentin didn't entirely mind that weakness occurring around the glamorous, viciously dangerous but basically trustworthy agent Stiletto, who was clearly his favourite, he resented that same weakness when it was wielded by this tall drink of washboard abs in knockoff Armani. Agent Eggplant was, as previously stated, the worst. Partnered with the devastatingly capable Agent Stiletto, Agent Eggplant was one of the country's top secret agents, with the highest number of successful missions for the last 3 years running. he had been the first agent that Fern bestowed an emoji upon. An obvious, if crude, choice because Agent Eggplant not only had an E in his official call sign, but he was also renowned for shagging his way across seven continents. If a mission called for a foreign spy to be seduced, there was Agent Eggplant with his shiny white teeth and exceptional shoulders, ready for action. It wasn't even that they gave him those cases deliberately, though, of course, they did. If you needed an agent to go undercover as a strippogram or a sexy fireman or a honeypot, Agent E was always going to be sent in first. But somehow, even the tamest, least potential for sexy times mission always ended with Agent Eggplant's shirt off, and three Soviet agents of various genders and sexual preferences dragging him into cupboards, speedboats, or secret volcano bases for athletic adult pastimes. Quentin wouldn't mind this especially. He was certainly not, he believed, a judgy sort of person. But he was the one who often had to deal with the paperwork for damages afterwards. Item: nerve gas watch. Damage: internal workings waterlogged. Reason for damage: underwater intimacies with French double agent. Item: remote control jetpack. Damage: significant dents and jammed off switch. Reason for damage: pack accidentally locked with wetsuit of enemy agent while said wetsuit was being removed for details redacted. Item: invisibility underwear. Damage: bullet holes. Reason for damage: equipment damage for once not technically due to sexcapades. He just got shot. A lot. By an infamous Chinese government assassin. Frankly, the fact that he was still wearing his underwear was something of a miracle. Note: infamous Chinese government assassin in question was Agent's ex-wife. The worst part, absolutely the worst part, was that everyone adored Agent Eggplant. Quentin's co-workers practically melted when he came in the door to the lab, and he was here a lot, far more than any other agent. He came in on weekends if there wasn't a mission on. He baked cupcakes for people's birthdays. Everyone adored him. Even Agent Stiletto, who never smiled, unless she received official orders in triplicate, had been known to look fondly upon Agent Eggplant, as if he was a sweet and harmless kitten. Agent Stiletto's extreme and unnecessary fondness for Agent Eggplant was in no way the cause of Quentin's completely justifiable dislike of the man. He respected her greatly as a colleague and friend, but that didn't mean she was right about everything. "Hey, have you heard?" Agent E said now, smiling all over his face. He had three dimples in his chin. What even was that? "Heard about the Secret Santa." "Oh," said Quentin, whipping around hopefully. "Have they cancelled it?" He had put in three requests for that outcome on the desk of his direct superior, Dr. Medusa Whiffelstein. Limiting himself to three counted in Quentin's mind as not even fighting it anymore. "No," said Agent Eggplant, whose baffled face was as impossibly handsome as his seduction face, and indeed his friendly neutral face. "I don't think so. They're not going to cancel it, are they? I hope not. This is the first year I get to participate." "What?" said Quentin flatly. "Ah, it was Fern's idea. She thought it might be even more fun if some of the agents joined the pool. We're not as talented at making things, so she said it would be fine if we gave mission souvenirs as gifts instead." Quentin's eyes narrowed. "Dangerous and deadly mission souvenirs, I suppose." "Best kind," Agent Eggplant said happily. "I have exactly the right thing. I've been planning it for..." Oh no, Quentin was not putting up with this. "Excuse me," he said, backing out of the tea room. "I have an appointment with Dr. Whiffelstein." "Ah, send her, my love," said Agent Eggplant, starting to construct what looked like the world's biggest sandwich on the counter of the kitchenette. "I'm looking forward to that carrot salad recipe she promised me." he was so much the worst. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. See you next week!